You're sounding like a growly robot. You sound like a monster.
Right now? What do I do with my hands? Okay, let's do a whole episode like this one day. And then we...
Why did you say that like you're an announcer in the 1940s? And then she had her hands up because she didn't know what to do with them.
And then they said, your hands up. And I went like this. And then I was confused at what they do. And I'm just a dame on the street trying to get by. Next day, read all about it.
She's white. Very white. She likes ranch dressing. And
she has a live, love, laugh in her house.
This might be a bad idea, Marie.
You know, I've talked to you about this before, but how I so badly want to do like our own little segment together. Oh, and I'm like, yes. What is it? What is it? Like, what can we
do? I don't know.
And then I was thinking, okay, you have blonde hair. I have blonde hair now. And then you drink coffee. I could also be drinking coffee and we could have a show called Blonde Roast.
That's cute.
Even if we don't really feel this way, we could roast things like movies and video games and I shows and stuff.
I'm here for it. Yes. I want to do it. Funny? That's perfect. It's so good. Because that's all we do is just criticize crap half the time. Like, honestly, we're like, give your honest review. And we're like, do you really want my honest review? I don't think so, but I will give my hot take.
We could do it on anything, like video games or movies or heck, music. Who knows? Like, it could be anything.
Just heck. The roast of the day, the house special. Mm-hmm. This is what's hot today.
Yeah, well, we got brewing today, Jess. Mm-hmm. Hey, there we go.
Here, you know what else? You know what makes me mad, though, today? Today, the fact, this just reminded me, looking at this mug. This mug makes me mad today because this mug I've had since, like, college. And I broke 3 mugs in the last month that have been, like, I've liked more. My both Overwatch mugs that I own broke. And one of my Owl mugs busted. But this stupid mug that I got from a Goodwill in college still survives. I don't understand. The world isn't fair.
No, it's because they don't make them like they used to, man. They used to put pride in these really craft. What it is. Someone put care into that. Those are like cranes or something on there.
I don't know. I picked it up because it was like 2 cents at a Goodwill one time in college and I was broke.
It's priceless because clearly it's been outliving all the modern day.
You know, it will survive the nuclear fallout. It will be around. When it's...
Ooh, Jess, good segue into our topic today. If anyone didn't guess what our topic was today, I mean,
another Goodwill find from Jess.
From movies to video games, welcome to Marie Plays It All. Today's episode is a deep dive into, what are we deep diving today, Jess?
Not Fallout 76.
Kind of, not really, but kind of. Oh, Fallout 76. We are talking about the Fallout show, and we're doing this in kind of two parts. To you guys, it will be all in one part, but to the magic of editing, it will be one episode. Well, first of all, Jess, I gotta tell people who you are. Before I jump to anything.
Everything.
I'm hashtag blessed to have my friend Jess. The first time we've ever talked face to face like this.
I know.
You realize that?
We apologize in advance for the nervous energy.
Oh, nervous, and we apologize in advance for how many times we're going to apologize during this whole
and say sorry. It could be a drinking game, honestly. You know, it really could.
We would die.
We would be done. You all would be done.
I have known Jess for how long, Jess? Like 5 years or something stupid. Like, it's like been four. Actually
we,
so long.
We met in 2020, actually, was because it? Of 2020. Yeah. Yep. Oh. Randomly, one night, we were matched up on the same team on an Overwatch game in Mayhem.
Yep.
It's crazy to think that, like, if I hadn't logged in at a certain time on a certain day and you hadn't logged in on a certain time, we never would have met. Like, I was like, that's just...
Video games bring people together, and
it really does.
Let me tell you that I am so happy that I met you, and I'm so grateful to Overwatch, and the best Sombra in the game is right here.
Oh, no. Not even.
And... We have played Fallout 76 together a couple times, but we have a little bit of different Fallout
preferences. I have played all of the... Okay, that's not true. I have played all of the games except for the one everyone says is the best one ever, which I think, Marie, that's your favorite one ever. New Vegas, it's like everyone's favorite. Yeah. I have a reason, though. Here's my argument for it. It's not a diss on it at all. I'm sure it is because my brother also says it's the best one. Story-wise and everything. I got into playing video games super late. This is a personal thing where, like, I'm so stupid annoying with that I have a problem with, like, graphics. So when I was, I only started, what, Xbox One was already a thing when I started playing video games. So I was late to the Fallout, all that, you know, 360 had been a thing with New Vegas and stuff. So I tried to play the old one on the newer console, and the graphics just don't hold up. I wish they would remake New Vegas, like, make it new. I would be so, so excited to play that. Because I never did. I couldn't get past it. But this is coming from the same person. This is, again, this is a me problem. And I say that, yet I play Fallout 76, which is interesting at times. But I, yeah, I just couldn't get past the it just didn't hold up. So I didn't really get into New Vegas as much. I did play the others. I think my favorite one was 4, though. But yeah, I like the open world. Like, I do a lot of just camp building stuff. And I used to Twitch stream and teach people how to, like, glitch their camps and, like, do all the weird, how to break Fallout 76 even further. Do this and Todd will hate you forever. Like, that's what I used to do. But anyway, yeah. So Ben, we played Fallout a little bit, 76. Not.
Yes. But that's my fault, because I'll tell you how I like to play Fallout. So
she likes to kill.
Well, no, I don't like to kill. I like the quest. And the thing is, I have been playing video games, like, my whole life, but then there was a chunk in the middle of my life when I was, like, you know, going out and stuff and, like, living life. And I was, like, not into video games. Like, what's that? Who does that? So there was a huge chunk of time when I didn't play video games until my brother, Rob, suggested to my husband that he should play Fallout New Vegas. So then one day he was playing Fallout New Vegas and I was sitting there watching, and I wasn't into video games anymore, really. Mm-hmm. And I was like, uh-oh, this looks like a game I could play. And then, so I hijacked Fallout 76. So I'm sorry, Fallout New Vegas.
Yes.
Hijacked it from him and got so involved with it. So I love Fallout New Vegas so much because it reignited my flame for gaming. It's like, I owe Fallout New Vegas all the cred for, yeah, like, getting, yeah, back into gaming. So it holds a very special place in my heart. I've probably played it over, like, 6-7 times. I played that one before Fallout 3. I also love Fallout 3. Fallout 4, I like. I'm redoing it again right now, too. But then they introduced the building aspect. Now, this is where Jess and I are very different. Because I couldn't care less about the building aspect. Like, I'm like, I just want to go.
Listen, in all fairness, I couldn't care less about it in Fallout 4. Like, I don't like it in any of the original games. It's horrible. I don't like, I never could get into it, really, because I'm impatient and I don't like scavenging for all the resources to do all the building stuff. Like, that's so much work. In 76, you can trade with people on Facebook for a bunch of resources for, like, a weapon. And so I did a lot of trading back in the day. That was, like, my whole thing. I actually made some pretty good alliances doing that with some people who were well connected in the black market of Fallout. It did make me want to go back and play the games watching the show. Yeah, it does make you want to go, like, replay everything, and then you'll appreciate, like, all the little nuances, I think, in the show more once you, like, know that. Because I did notice that when I was watching the show through, because, like Marie said, I've seen the whole thing, she has not yet, so no spoilers yet. It is interesting to see the different reactions from people who have played the games versus people who haven't,
right,
and how, what they notice or what they like or don't, because I notice things that they goes over their head completely, like, details, I think, go over the majority of the population's head who haven't played the games, because there's things like even the pictures and the frames, like the posters in the background are, like, faded out. And I'm like, that's in my house. I know what that is. Like, and it's like those little things that they just don't even, like, don't care about. I was, like, nerding out over in it. Like, the details were so good, like, in the show.
And this is the thing, too, like, why I like talking about the show with you and, like, Fallout with you, too, is because we are, like, different types of Fallout players. And you've played a lot more 76 than I have. And I've played New Vegas, which you haven't. So there's things that I see where I'm like, that's from New Vegas. There was just something I saw yesterday and I, like, started crying. I'm like, there's a Easter egg. I was so excited. And then I can hear more, like, the 76 stuff.
I have a question, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
About that, because I don't know New Vegas because I haven't played it. Like I heard, I read it in message board, and maybe this is something that you won't know until you watch the whole thing ending. It's not a spoiler in any way, but like maybe you won't be able to answer it right now. Is what I'm saying. Maybe you'll have an answer at the end of this for me. So if you don't have an answer, think on it. Revisit later. So I read in the message board that one person's complaint, they said they were a big Fallout nerd. So they love the show, they said. And that's been the overall take I've been hearing from people and reading and stuff. Their one nitpick that they said was that it made New Vegas not canon. And I don't know what that means because I didn't play New Vegas. So for me, I wouldn't notice. You know what I mean? Like so it might be something at the end that they're going to make it not canon or something that will make more sense once you've seen the whole show. I'm not sure. But yeah, so that's one complaint I saw that I want answers because I don't know.
Well, the thing about New Vegas too is I almost don't see it as canon in general. Like I find it like a side quest. Like New Vegas is by, Obsidian did it, like a different company made it. It seems to be like
Do you think that's probably what they were trying to like do with this since Todd Howard was in charge of the show? Like they kind of gave nods to it, but it was kind of like an homage kind of thing instead of like, hey, we're writing this into the lore or whatever exactly. Like specifically.
Yeah, I kind of think like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can see them doing that. And to me, that wouldn't bother me because I kind of look at it like it's Fallout for sure through and through, but it's kind of its own separate entity in a way. So if they make it like it's not canon, then I wouldn't be mad about it because they're still throwing in nods to it, which makes me feel like warm and fuzzy inside. So it doesn't, I'll see when it's at the end, but. When you first heard the show coming out and like saw the first trailer, what were your thoughts and feelings about the show before watching it?
Okay. Honestly. All right.
Yes. Honestly.
So before the trailer came out and I heard they were making a show.
Yep.
I said, huh. And then I said, who's making it? And I said, Amazon. And I said, huh. Because that's not a dig again. Like I just, first of all, there hasn't been in my mind a successful adaptation of a video game. When they first came out, I was like, okay, they're doing a show. All right. And I heard that like The Last of Us played a big role in Fallout getting made actually, because it did so well that they were like, okay, we can actually put more budget and effort into this and it's worthwhile investment. I read that in one of the comments somewhere from the people who made it. So thank you, Last of Us, for doing well. I think you walked and then Fallout sprinted past you. I think they, and this is again for me seeing the whole thing, they knocked it out of the park. This, I was so skeptical. Like I had so much faith. I wanted it to be good. Because I was like, please don't butcher this. Please don't butcher this. Like, for me, I know for you, this is like your baby of like the games where like that's what got you in. Okay. That's how I feel about BioShock. So they better, I'm so stupid nervous for the BioShock one because that's Netflix. That's a whole nother thing. So the same reasons when it said Amazon and Fallout, I was like, it's the same feeling I'm getting when they say BioShock and Netflix. I'm like, but then I looked who was in charge of like, the production, I saw that Todd Howard was going to be like directly, you know, in works with it. So hopefully, you know, he wants to honor his own creation and make it come to life. You know, you hope that when the creator is involved, that they want it to be like the games in real life, which I hear is the same for BioShock, and the people he put in charge of making the BioShock are big fans of the game. So here's hoping that remains because they see how good Fallout did and because they were so true to the lore on that they also follow in those footsteps. I hope Fallout does the same thing that The Last of Us did for Fallout. I hope Fallout does that for BioShock. That's my little, you know, pebbles and steps towards like progress in the adaptation of video games and film. Yeah, it's been a mess until now, I think,
when it comes to this. It hasn't been great. So, it has not been great.
It's been such a letdown, and it's not hard because that's what I don't understand. If anything, I think this show proved that all you have to do is just, they already did all the hard work. it's already there. Like, video games are a form of cinema. Like, it's already created. They did the hard work for you. They did all the designing. They did the characters. They did the story. They did the plot. They did all of it. Just take that and make it into a movie or a show. Just scoop there. It's so easy and effortless. Like, you don't have to make your own version of something and put your own plot twist on it and make it feel like it's yours and your take on something. Nobody wants that. No one in any fandom wants anyone's opinion on what it should have been. They want what was already made.
What it is. In real what life. It is. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's what I was hoping for. Now, when the trailer dropped, I cried. I was like, okay, it looks so good. I was like so hyped. I had hope. I had more hope.
And that was enough. That was enough for
that
us.
That was enough.
It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look bad. See, that's the Fallout 76 in me coming out. I was like, you know, I was like, it's not that bad. It's just kind of better than it was. You know, like, okay, we're getting there.
When I first heard, this is something so, when you have something that's so precious to you, something you've invested hours and hours and hours of your life into that you love so much, and they're going to make an adaptation for a show. In this day and age, I have no faith in anything. Like, I'm just like, it's good. I like to go in thinking it's going to be terrible, so I'm not disappointed. So I was like, all right, it's probably not going to be good. Then when the first trailer dropped, I was like you. I watched it, I think, like 6 times in the same day, cried every single time. The only thing I was worried about, the song, like, everything made me cry. The only thing that I was worried about was the gore. But then again, it's a trailer.
Oh, interesting. What about that? Like, not enough or too much?
Not enough. Because not I always play with the bloody mess perk on. So I'm like, I want to see heads.
Girl, yes.
You want the whole. Yes, girl. Yes.
Yes. Yep.
We talked about what we were worried about. We've talked about the trailer. Now let's get into when we first watched the first episode and how we felt about it. Okay. So one of my first notes was the gore and the violence. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Thank God.
But didn't it like do such a great job though at doing it like the game? It's almost in a comical way. It's not comical, but it's almost extra. Like it's more like, it's like Bloody Mess. It's like they put Bloody Mess on. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not funny, but it like it's done in almost a humorous way that's like it's reminiscent of the video game. I loved it. I thought it was perfect.
100% gore like that, that's over the top. You know it's horrifying and you know it's like, oh my God. But at the same time, there's this level of excitement because they're going there. They're pushing the envelope a little bit.
Yes.
And they're giving us what the game is giving us. It's like Evil Dead gore is so gory and over the top. You're like, this is so exciting. Like, it's so fun. Why do I love this? And they did it, Jess. They did it with the gore. They nailed it.
It was perfect. That whole first episode, my first thing that I noticed in the first episode that I was actually... And this goes kind of back to what we were saying, like your hesitations, because I saw a lot of people's criticisms early on. And this might be, again, a hot take. It's not for me, but I think we had the same thought, you and I did, because we talked about this when everyone was saying, oh, not a girl lead character again.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, okay, but like most people do choose the women for some reason. They always choose, like most of them, when they play Fallout for the first time, they would choose a female character. So okay, I get that, and I don't care either way. Like, it's Fallout was always like that though. Like, no one really cared either way. Here's what I didn't want it to be again. I have, and this again may just be a me personal problem with movies today and like cinema things, but as a female, tell me if you feel differently. As a female, I find it almost patronizing that like every stupid like movie ever is some girl boss thinking that it's not realistic. So I was not wanting like this to come in and her being like kicking all these people twice her size, but she's been underground for forever and suddenly like she knows how to like handle herself, and the dialogue was gonna be like, I can take this, I can handle this, I'm, you know,
yes,
I, blah, 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 and just came out the gate kicking and was like beating up things and monsters twice her size and has no experience. Like, cinematically today, in every other show ever and movies, it seems that's the narrative that they push, is that, you know, I have nothing wrong with a female lead and a strong female lead, or like that, cool, it's cool, but it's cheesy in the way they write it. It's almost like it's not realistic. There's no character arc to get you to that point. There's no growth. They just jump in out the gate and it doesn't make sense. I'm like, there's no way in real life some girl is like half the size is going up against some guy that she's going to not get beat up. She might escape, maybe, but it's going to be a struggle. Man, that first whole, yes, I literally, I just said, give, I was like, yes, throw her into the oven. I was like, yes. I was like, I know, I felt this was horrible, but I was like, it was so much of a relief because I'm like, okay, they're giving her someplace to go. She's literally being the naive, I've lived in a vault, like it would be, you know what I mean? Like it was, it worked. And she still had her fighting stuff because it showed that like, she had done like little fighting and training mm-hmm. stuff, but she'd never been in a real situation. So she's struggling. There's struggle there. She gets injured a lot. It's a struggle. Not- it looks like a struggle. She fought her way to get better and to grow and to be that more stronger character. So for me, like that was my biggest thank you. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, whoever made that decision. Thank you so much. Because as a female, that's the kind of like characters we want to see in lead roles. Like, and maybe again, it's just me, but like, I can't speak for all of womankind ever. I'm sure some people love some of those characters, you know, they do, but like, it's just annoying to me when they're like, it's not realistic. You know what I mean? Like there are really good fighting women and strong women characters and ones that you like for different reasons other than just being a girl boss. But even in mm-hmm. the girl boss characters, they didn't start out as a girl boss, so like I don't like when movies and things just come in like, you know, guns blazing like that. So I appreciated mm-hmm. that was my first like, okay, we're starting off good, like take.
I didn't know how deep I wanted to get into this in this episode, but I think it has to be said, in a lot of movies, TV shows, they do take characters, make them women. They do take women characters and just make them flawless. Just totally mm-hmm. flawless, in charge, and like nothing can hurt them. They're unstoppable. Mm-hmm. They're perfect in every way.
Plot armor. And that's,
yeah. Thank you. And that's just what we see. We see that a lot. And I would understand. So there's a lot of men angry online about the main character being a female. Okay. Well, main character, I mean, there's several main characters, but the vault dweller main character mm-hmm. being a female. To me personally, when it's a game that where you can choose the gender, I forgive it. Also, I play it as a woman normally, so I'm just like, it just feels right to me. If they came out with a game, I like to use this comparison because you don't have the option. If they came out with a Red Dead game and they made Arthur Morgan a woman, I would be like, no, I'd be furious because you can't. It has to be him. So if they made something like that, they took an actual male character and they flipped it, made it a female, I'd be upset. I would. I mean, I do get upset when they do that. But this to me was like, it suited being a woman. So, and it suited being this small, delicate woman who's not all that delicate.
Yeah.
Like she is smart and she is feisty and she does have training. But it's just, if this character, if you watch the show, even these first four episodes, if they had this script with this innocence and this like naive purity and it was a man, it
doesn't make sense.
Right. It would not sit right at all.
He would come out like more guns blazing. Things wouldn't have as much impact.
No.
Like the scary things or like the vulnerability side. Yeah. It just doesn't fit. You're right. Like I think they made the best choice they could.
Yeah.
In that I'm so glad at the approach of it. Also, can we just take a moment for Rico from Hannah Montana? Because like I was so excited that Moises Arias was, I didn't know he was gonna be in the show. And the little brother and everyone's critique of him, like right off the gate, was like, oh, I don't like this character. Oh, like, you know, people I was with, they were like, oh, he's wimpy hit and blah, 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 and they didn't like his acting or whatever. And I'm like, see, I think they're going somewhere on purpose with this. Give it time. Uh-huh. By the time you get to the end of this, Marie, I swear Norm is going to be one of your favorites. Like it's my favorite plot line in the whole thing. And you know why? It's because I want to know the secrets. Like I want to know what's going on. Like, and his plot line is doing a lot of that kind of like revealing the things. So I like when it goes to the Norm plot line throughout it, but yeah.
I'm halfway through and he's really starting to grow on me already. Sorry, real quick. I also, when Lucy started getting her butt kicked in that kitchen, I right away said out loud, at least they're beating her
I
up.
Did
like,
too.
At least they're, so I was like, so I'm like, I no, this, no mercy, man. Give it to her. Like, yes. This is realistic.
This is how it would her butt. Down. Like, if it was going to be a struggle, it's going to be a struggle. And can we take a moment for that special effects makeup on his face? Oh my goodness, they deserve all the awards. Like that was so good. Like just because you obviously we all thought, you know, oh he's dead. Like, but then mm-hmm. he comes back with like the whole can opener face and you're just like,
oh gosh,
ah, like it was so, and in the pickle juice, in the pickle juice. Oh, I just was like the burning on top of the drowning. Like,
Jess, I wish we could, you, every single thing that you picked up on, I said out loud. I'm like, oh my God, it would sting so bad in that pickle juice.
Thank you. That was me. I was like, oh my goodness. Oh, it was so much.
Okay, so we loved all that. Another thing we need to touch on from the get-go, the biggest thing to me and to, I think, you in this show right from the top was the attention to detail of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Every single aspect of the show, every item, every image, every scene, every set.
I know because you played the games. I know when he's taking those pictures, you're like, that's the broken camera. Like the broken cameras you pick up all over the place. Like literally everything was like the exact perfect details. Yes. Like even in the picture frames, like everything. I loved it. Like it again was interesting to me because like if I was watching it with like you, we are like geeking out all these things that are from the game, all of the details. Anyone who's played the games, I think you are doing that. But when I'm watching it with people who've never played it, they're just as enthralled with the world building, but they don't really appreciate what the extent of detail that people went through to make it mm-hmm. like what it is. So to them, that's just a, you know, it looks good. But like when you know, like, no, someone took the exact time to make this come to life specifically, like everything from like down to the fabrics and the wallpapers are the same. Like,
my God,
that level of attention to detail was nuts. And speaking of, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, attention to detail and tying in with video games. This is a funny conversation I had with a friend of mine. He's the biggest Fallout geek that I know personally, and he knows all the lore. He knows everything, like what's canon, what's not. Like, I don't even know that. I played the games and I watched the show. He was going into like what he liked and didn't like, and he had criticisms right off the bat from the trailer because something about the power armor wasn't correct, like didn't connect in the right way or something with the helmet. I didn't pay attention. I don't know, but it probably had a reason they did it that way, but something on it wasn't right. He was like, oh, I don't know. When it got to the scene, and I think it's either episode 3 or 4. I think it's 3. No, it's not 3 or 4. It's 2 or 3. But I think it's 3. It's when everyone starts to finally meet up, all the characters in that town, in that fight scene where he's the ghouls like taking down everybody, like cowboy style, you know. And Maximus shows up in his power armor. It's at the end, and Maximus blasts off, and then he looks at his arms and he's kind of confused why there's, you know, jetpacks coming out of his arms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's like that. And then he's like, oh, cool. You know, and then he just goes, okay. The average viewer is like, okay, he just realized his arm has jetpacks. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. I have arm jetpacks. My geek friend who knows all about Fallout and is a big Fallout 76 like nerd was upset about that because he was like, that's not where the jetpacks are on the armor like that. And I that kind of made me a little bit like, I'm like, that's a complete nod to, we broke Fallout 76. That's Todd Howard being like, because what happened was in Fallout 76, there was a time in the Dark Ages where we we broke the game a lot. And Todd got really mad at us because what happened was there was a dupe going on where people were able to put jetpacks on arms of power armor, and they were duping them. And so that you were jetpack arms, and they were selling for a lot of money. Like a lot of American dollars. Like you were making like $50 a pop on these things. Like, yeah.
Oh my God.
And I'm so mad at my friend for not knowing this, because him and our mutual friend who plays the game had a whole shop. They built a whole camp that was like a workshop just for duping this, that they made a joke out of it. They built a whole camp and they had it set up just for duping these things. And what would happen was when you did it, you knew someone was duping on that server, because wherever you were, even if you weren't the one duping it, the whole server would freeze. Every time someone was duping, it would freeze the server until the point, if there was too many people doing it, it would crash the server entirely. So it was almost impossible during this time to play Fallout 76 because there were so many people duping on all these servers and crashing them. And so all that was a joke at Fallout 76's jetpack arms that like they had been doing, and he was confused as like why he had jetpacks in his arms, and it was like, oh. And I told my friend that, and he was like, I did not even get that. That's hilarious. And he just started laughing. I'm like, I got it right away. I was cracking up. I was like, oh my goodness, Todd can take a joke. Because like people made a lot of money off of this game, like scamming it really and crashing his game. But he was able to like put that into as a joke. And I don't like that whole thing, I'm sure went over the majority of the population's head if they didn't play Fallout 76 and know about it. But yeah, no, it was things like that, like the attention to detail and jokes. Some of them, I'm sure, like went even deeper than what I picked up on, which is why I'd be interested to see like a bunch of people's like, you know, all the Easter eggs you missed in episode blah blah. Because like I'm sure I missed a ton of them, but like, yeah, I really appreciated all that. And the scene, the opening scene, with like just the cold open of just all the drops all over the town.
Oh my God. One
happens and you're like, oh no, and you know what's happening because they did the whole thumbs up thing and the explanation and stuff, and you know what's happening. The visuals on that were so good too, like the special effects that could have gone bad so quickly, so easily, cheap looking, you know what I mean? Like,
so far, that's another thing that I was really scared about for the show was the special effects, because I was they can look so bad, and even this day and age, if they want to like skimp on like paying like, but this show so far, I'm only in number four, but so far I'm like, I don't really have any complaints.
You don't notice like this is like, okay, this is reminding me of like golden age like Avengers Disney when the special effects were good, not like now Disney special effects. And not pulling punches here. Okay, like, literally, like, the special effects and stuff now, they cut corners. And it's not the special effects people's fault. I mean, you go and look at any of those studios and the teams on them, and 9 times out of 10, here's the problem with shows today. The reason that you get bad results and bad special effects is because these big companies want these games and these shows out by ridiculous deadlines. They are understaffed, overworked, they don't have the time to make it as good as it needs to make it. And as a creative myself and as a writer myself, I understand like the frustration and anger that a lot of these people must be feeling when the product comes out and they know it's going to be garbage, and it's representing of like their own creativity. It's like a self-representation of their own work and people just trashing it because it is garbage, it wasn't ready, and it's not their fault. Like, they have the ability to make something really good. They're really talented. Their hands are tied. It's some guy in an office who wants to make a buck and who's ever in charge and just is like, nope, do this, nope, do that. And they don't get a say in how things are made half the time. So, again, just like you said, I was concerned with when they said Amazon, what that was going to look like. Because Fallout, while a lot of it is practical and a lot can be pulled off with practical, there is a lot of aspects that need to have CGI. I mean, you're dealing with some big, massive scale project here, and literally, and to make that look not cheesy is a task. I think they nailed it. Like, I was so impressed. Like, I mean, whoever, Amazon, good job. You did it.
Another thing we're saying about like the attention to detail, like I had so many things like, oh, the soundtrack, I'm crying, the turret, the dead droid. I forget what kind of droids are called, but they're in Fallout 4.
The Assaultron.
Thank you. The Assaultron laying there. I was like, oh my gosh. She's even laying down by the campfire, sleeping in the exact position that they sleep in Fallout. With the hand like this and bent, everything's so, and I said every single prop, but the sound design too. The sound and the sound effects, every little nugget of sound from the power armor, everything that I'm hearing from like guns, I'm like, this is from the game. This is the exact sounds.
Exactly. It's like, it was so good. And it's showing in the reviews, it's showing. Even the people who are the biggest like nerds and like nitpick fandom since day one are loving it. And even if they have something to complain about, it's usually very small and nitpicky. My complaint, we'll get to in the next half of this. It's just another personal thing. I know other people probably wouldn't care, but me from a, I have conflicted feelings. From a personal standpoint, I didn't want it. When I put on my script writing hat and my film hat, I can logically walk through why they did it. And I can explain that, and I will later, but as a viewer, me personally, I was like, I didn't want, this felt really shoehorned in. My thing with Fallout that I appreciated so much, where, again, this isn't a jab at The Last of Us game because I didn't play the game, so this has nothing to do with, like, the content of the show. Where I have an issue with shows, and what I had an issue, my biggest issue with The Last of Us was the fact that, and again, maybe this is how the game was, and maybe it's a completely mute point, but for me, when a show forgets, or a movie forgets, what the point is supposed to be about, like the threat. What is the threat? Fallout, it's the wasteland. It's mm-hmm. all these other factions. It's, you know, they're all trying to get the same thing. The threat was the nuclear explosions of everything, you know, but now it's the wasteland, right? Okay, so that's the point. Yeah. The whole point of your show, that's that. Okay. When a show or movie loses the point of what it's supposed to be about, and it goes on a tangent of like, okay, we're switching what the threat is. The problem is a lot of shows, I think, and I know this is how they do it, but I don't think it's necessarily smart, yeah. is they're writing as they go. They get bored. They have to come up with new ideas, and then you jump the shark. And then you're like, okay, I'm done. Like at some point, most of the audience is like, okay, that was it. I think it's when the show loses the heart of what it's supposed to be about, and we get to like wrapped up in these, not necessarily side quests, but like things that don't matter, that we lose focus of like what the point is. Like for me, The Last of Us, the best parts of that show is when you're involved with like, there's a threat. That's the whole thing. There's the clickers. There's the things. They're going to get you. If you make noise, they're going to get you. You know what I mean? Like you have to be quiet. Mm-hmm. You got to be stealthy. Okay. So do all rules come out the window in like episode, whatever, 7, 6, whatever that was, when we're just talking, having a loud conversation in the woods? Like, do they not exist in the woods? I thought they're all underground. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of stupid writing where I'm just like, okay, so for 25 minutes, we're going to have this loud arcade scene. We're going to be playing games in the mall where there's one around the corner. You're not going to tell me that thing woke up like and came over there in that time. I thought these things were a threat. See what I mean? It's that kind of just dumb. Mm. Like, we're changing the rules as we go because it's in the script, not because it's mm-hmm. how it's supposed to be. Like, if the rules are, you got to be quiet, these things will get you, they can sense these things, that's the rules of like the game or the rules of your plot line, stick to your rules. You can write around those rules and still have it be a threat or whatever, but there's whole episodes in The Last of Us and stuff that was just, we're going to talk really loud in the woods all day long on our trip and nothing's going to attack us. And I'm like, that's not realistic. And then all of a sudden it did the same thing that Walking Dead did, where those are no longer the biggest threat, it's people. And a lot of shows do that. And I'm like, okay, people are always going to be a threat, but we're not just going to throw out the fact that the biggest point of your whole show is zombies. Like the biggest point yes. of the whole thing was that Fallout never did that. I think Fallout differs though, is that Fallout has a bunch of people are the problem. So it's not like you have an extra outside thing besides now the nuclear animals and mutant things that exist now in the world that you have to deal with that didn't exist before. Yeah. That's the third party extra player in the game, but mm-hmm. I think they're just giving you a taste of that in this season. I think the next mm-hmm. season they're going to delve more into that extra element, because this is kind of introducing you to the different factions.
Okay, so what you're saying about Fallout and like where it's going to go and everything like that, I'm getting just a taste of that now. And you're saying, yes, the wasteland is the biggest threat. Why? Because of the huge threat that happened. And because of the huge threat, this now these are all the threats. Now the factions and everybody spend for yourself type mentality and all the mutated things. But you are seeing and you're learning that there's the threat of the people inside the vaults. What was their part? There's so much of this in the backstory too, in the lore, and like every Fallout game where you go and you read all the terminals and you're like, wait yep. a sec. And they're doing that in the show.
I know.
And it's so like, good. And I love how you're seeing like, who's more messed up, the people mm-hmm. in the vaults or the people above ground? Like who's mm-hmm. more? And I really like, I don't know what's going to happen with the character arcs for these characters, but one of my favorite things so far about this, well, two things. One of my favorite things about this show so far, and that relates to the gameplay, is in when you play Fallout, you can kind of choose what your character is going to be. Are you going to yes. be evil? Are
I
you
know
gonna
where
be...
you're going with this.
Yeah, it's like, are you going to be evil? Are you going to be good? And there's karma aspects in the game. And
yeah.
People, so all your choices you make, you can be like bad the or choices. Good or neutral. And it seems like all these characters are like, you don't know what they're going to become. And like, even with Lucy, she's kind of like naive and like almost, I don't want to say emotionless and lacks depth, but she's so just like happy-go-lucky. And it's like, she hasn't been through the hardships of life mm-hmm. at all yet. She's starting to now. So mm-hmm. she's going to swap to be, I'm guessing, a more in-depth character with mm-hmm. just a little bit more edge and a little bit more smarts and everything to her. And then you have like the Brotherhood of Steel guy, Maximus. And you're like, he's got an edge. Why is he so angry? And you know, there's something in him that can either twist, go either way. Like he can mm-hmm. switch it, go either way. And same mm-hmm. with the ghoul. You know, with the ghoul at his core, he's a good person, but now he you know, he's mad at stuff. Stuff mm-hmm. happened to him. It's like he can swap either way.
I can't wait till you finish like the show. I can't that's wait. Just like, I'm just saying. Oh,
that's like the heart of the yes, games. It is. And that's what they're doing in the show.
Too. I said that I was leaving because you know, like we leave voice messages to each other all the time. I was leaving voice mm-hmm. messages because it's too much to talk to the group chat of the guys who played Fallout is what I was talking to, because I was the only one who'd watched the show. Mm-hmm. And I said the same thing. I said, you know, something I just now noticed that I really appreciate was the fact that even episode one, and she's like, that's one of life's tricky little choices, wasn't it? Or something like that. And I'm like, mm-hmm. throughout the whole show, it almost plays like every single character goes through these like dialogue options. You know what I mean? Like they make
check.
Choices.
Speech yes. check.
Yeah. And you couldn't even notice it. There's a specific episode. I think it's episode 6. It feels like she almost made like the wrong dialogue choice. You know what I mean? And got a response that was almost comically written. Like it was written like, you know, when you make an NPC mad and they yes. kind of like say these random, like, get out of here, you kind of things, you know, at you. And you're like, all right, you know, like, crap, I didn't have the charisma to like make the right decision. You know, it felt like that. So I really appreciate that somebody else picked up on that, because I had the same thing. I was like, I felt like the characters themselves were put into NPC positions where like they had dialogue and choices to make in their own storylines. It was really cool.
Another thing that I loved seeing so much is they have those raiders in the jail, in the vault. And this is when I start loving the brother. Okay. This is when I was like, hell yeah. And then they're trying to be diplomatic and all like they can learn and blah, blah, blah. And you know, and as a viewer and as a video game player, and you're watching and you're like, no, they can't.
It's the raiders.
Get rid of them. Like, get rid of them. And then, but what I thought was so good, they're like, well, they don't know. They weren't educated. They don't know. And usually in movies and shows and stuff, they want you to side with the people who are going to be more like just and caring. And like, mm-hmm. these people don't have the education. Mm-hmm. We need to rehabilitate them. And that's mm-hmm. the way to go. That's the good way. But this show is making it like, you know, that's not right. You need to be ruthless.
Marine, listen, I will say this, and it's not a spoiler, but by the end, mm-hmm. I was talking to myself out loud watching the last episode. There's a reason yes. why it's rated 9 on IMDb. I was sitting there and I was like, this is a great social commentary. This is a great Ooh. Social commentary. I was like, this whole show was a great social commentary. Like, yep. People okay. need to be looking at this okay. deeply.
I love this coming from you because we share very similar views on the world. And I got from that one episode, I already was like, I love this social commentary because it's not one you see very often anymore. Yeah. And I think should be pushed more. And usually we as viewers and as like shows and movies put out, it's one agenda social commentary that they mm-hmm. show. And that's it. That's all
I
we're being
love
fed.
This show, because the reason I say it's such a great social commentary, it was very zoomed out. And what I mean by that mm-hmm. is that it was saying, okay, you think it's this way because this is what this, but this is how this affects this side. It's just a great zoomed out perspective mm-hmm. without being specific on like, these are this group of people and this is this group of people in the world. And this is this group of thinking. It doesn't do that. It doesn't be like, okay, this is, you know, this political party or this belief system or whatever. It's made up for this. But you can see where things lie if you're got two brain cells. And it really shows that, like, there's a lot of gray areas, and that it's there's not always a good guy, like, and that's for me, it's the same kind of revelation as, like, I saw a quote or something. It was like, Scooby-Doo taught us that, like, the villains aren't the people that you, the strangers you meet in the street, it's the people that you know. And and it's that kind of, like, huh, because the people you thought you're rooting for, or the people that you, you know, when you really look at it and you really put it into today's actual world of who it is, like, it makes you think. It's very deep, and it's very cleverly written deep. And I think more people need to think deeper and look at it as for what it is, but that's just my two cents on that.
That's what I like about this show, though. There are going to be people who are going to look at it deeper. We people who can view it deeper and want to view it deeper will, but also it's just like, you can look at it very on the surface just for fun entertainment, and it's still just as good.
And it's still just as good. It's just, I would liken it to, like, the Hunger Games, similar.
Okay.
Where, like, you watch the Hunger Games and you're like, this is a great story. This is also an Onion. Like, you know, if you really want to go there, you can go there. But, like, it's also just a great, you know, action show or movie. You know what I mean? It's like that. It's, to me,
it's honestly, like, for everybody. And you know what? This is what I thought about. I know you were saying earlier, and I agree with you on all of it, except there's one thing that I think a little bit differently on. When you were like, you got Fallout here, it's easy, just like, you got all the hard work, just put it, just make it, right? I was thinking this too, though, like, they really captured the tone of the video game, and the tone of the video games is everything. It's like light and happy, but also dark and gritty and violent and gory, but as heart, and it's comedic, but also serious and deep. And that's what the video game is. When you play for hours and hours, you see all these aspects of it. But honestly, thinking about and doing this successfully, translating all those things as a whole onto screen, I think is difficult, because you can view it as, this doesn't have an identity, or like, what's this show trying to be? Is it trying to be funny? Yeah. Is it trying to be dark? But for some, they
it could
did
get messy
it,
real quick.
It can, but they did it. I don't know. They made it. Everything, and everything works, and it's the exact vibe feeling of the game, and they effing did it, Jess. They pulled it off somehow. Some so magical good. They so far in my four episodes, they did it. Jess, what else do you want to say about the first four episodes before I go into the last chunk?
Well, a couple interesting thoughts. I was looking up on IMDb, and I was interested to see, like, the highest rated episodes in the season versus, like, the lowest ones. And the lowest ones were the first two, which I would not have said. I would have said episode 6, but that was just me. But it wasn't, like, the last episode was the highest rated, and the lowest ones were the first two, which was interesting to me. I think also, talking with other people, some of their, like, hesitations in, like, the acting were on certain characters. I was like, hey, give them time. They have to have character growth. You know what I mean? Like, they're written that way on purpose, guys. Like, not everybody sees it that way. They weren't bad actors. I think one of them was, like, a Maximus. They're like, he's, like, awkward, and, like, it doesn't feel like he, or the brother, like, Norm. And I was like, it's purposeful. Then you see him snap, like, Maximus, and you're like, okay, did he do the thing? You know what I mean? Like, you're asking questions, and I'm like, and what I saw was, I saw somebody who handled, as an actor, the awkwardness and, like, the weird, like, just almost, like, backwards acting a little bit, like, sheltered person, shy, kind of wants to be liked, wants to belong, kind of personality well, and then watched an actor just go from there to, like, beating up a toilet and screaming. And I was like, there's range there. I was like, that's some range. There's, like, you said the same thing. You're like, there's some snappability. Like, where is he going to go? Like, is he good? Is he, like, unhinged, you know what I mean? And so there's some, like, character, like, we get to see what that happens with that. Norm, I think, is gonna be my favorite character arc, though.
I'm loving it so far. Really, really, really loving it. He's like the little nerdy recluse who, like, seems like he's, but
now,
you know,
see,
they have
our mutual friend had a lot to say about, like, the first couple episodes and criticizing Norm. Did not like Norm. I said, think of the games. Lucy, her approach is like the strength and perception character where they're going out and doing the things. Her brother is like the stealth, luck, like sneak mission stuff. So he's more of the brain. He's doing she's going to go try to take things down on the outside in the wasteland. He's going to try to do the same thing on the inside, from the inside, and find out.
Yes.
It's just two different approaches, just like two different ways to play a game, which I appreciated. And they made siblings, and it was cool.
Well, that's what I'm noticing too with every character is you're absolutely right. They're like character builds, and it's like everything is like what you can choose to be and what your special is going to be. Often your special, exactly. Like that's what did you put your points in the special? Like you can tell what all these people are. Okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I'm excited to go into it. I'll give my little things. I have like little quick jot notes. First of all, the soundtrack. I love how they are actually taking songs from the game. Like one of my favorite things about Fallout in general is not only the aesthetic where it's like, I love the whole 1950s aesthetics, like my favorite, but that they threw it in the future. Love it. They captured that perfectly, but the music from that era is one of my favorite. And I love that they're taking actual songs from the game radio, because I always have the radio on when I play.
Oh
the
yeah,
game. I always have it on.
I can't listen to just the normal game music. It's creepy. I want to listen to like I want to be Bloody Mess, and I want to hear like
the Andrew Sisters like singing.
I don't want
like
to set the world on fire. Like I'm like, yes, I do. I'm setting it on fire right now. All of
right
it.
Now, this is my soundtrack. Gamer. I know.
Like,
I absolutely love that. My only complaint about it so far has to do with like musically, and my only complaint so far about the whole show is the score that they use for the ghoul, like his theme music with the wailing.
I said the same
thing.
Sorry, I'm getting too worked up and warm and I'm coughing. Hold on, I'm gonna mute my mic right now. My face is turning red. No, I said the same thing, Marie. I said the same thing. You know what it reminded me of? And what? It's on my list of like worst cinematic moments I've ever seen ever, and it's on it's like on tier. That it was what, and I'm glad you brought that up because I'd forgotten about that until you said it. See, that's why I needed you to watch these like right. Aquaman did the same thing when Aquaman 1, and he lands and he turns around. It's like this rock music, and he does this dramatic turn. And it's like, and I'm like, and there's a zooming on his face every time they do the ghoul. And it's like that. Like, what is this? Like, it's so random. Like, I hated it. I hated that. Like,
it's too much. It's starting to die out now. But they did it too often. Like, even when he busts out of the coffin, I'm like, okay, this music is cheesy, throwing me out of it. But I was hoping it would just be that one scene. But they kept doing it, and I'm like, Marie, is this Middle Eastern music? No, still, even
they
in the new,
doing it. It's annoying now. And the way they're doing it is weird. It's off-putting because you're doing that zoom in close-up of his face, and it's like very on the nose, like very just like specific.
No pun intended, like, with that little nose.
No,
but, you know.
No nose, off the nose.
Yeah.
In the skull, you know. No, like, but it's too exact. And I hate that in cinema. Like if they're like, it's a cool moment where they're like doing an electric guitar, or it's like, you're a cowboy. Here's your cliche cowboy music. It's corny. It's cliche. It was unnecessary. I think that was a misstep. I would agree 100%.
I also love how they're adding in aspects from every single game. Every single game is put in this show. They're not leaving anything out. And like they have the sunset sarsaparilla sign I saw, or like a cruck of sunset sarsaparilla, which is only in Fallout New Vegas. My favorite Easter egg so far. Was I don't know if it was episode 3 or 4, but they're on like, what do they call it? Soundstage? No, a movie lot, where it's like back when the ghoul was human and he's walking through like the movie lot, and walking by on the same movie lot is guys dressed up like Roman people, and that's from Caesar's Legion in Fallout New Vegas. And I like started crying. I'm like, oh my god, Caesar's Legion people, like they dressed like that.
Like, not to be weird or anything, but like I appreciated how like funny and backwards the sex jokes were, like, an awkward. It is in the vein of Fallout humor. Like, the jokes fit the game. So I appreciate it because you're staying in that same vein of, like, accuracy to me. Like, I don't know. I thought that was funny. I was like, it just, the backwardsness and, like, weirdness because everyone's so awkward and been underground forever and don't know anything. Like,
Yeah. Oh, it's dark. Funny. And it adds, it almost adds to the realism of it.
Well,
and
yeah.
Well, and they're being real with stuff too, man. Like that water breaking, but also not to be like, sorry, this is gross. But in the first episode, when the guy walks over the curtain and cleans himself off afterwards, I was like, thank you for showing someone cleaning off after intimacy, because they never show that in shows.
But so I, you like, just get up and walk around. Because in a weird way, like, I like that they did it that way, because it gave you, you were already getting vibes that something was off.
Yeah.
But you were like, that was a big tell, because you were like, a that's vault barbaric. Person wouldn't do that. Like, and then they walked over and act like they'd never seen a sink before. And then you're like, and then the way he was just like, and then she's, you're seeing it in real time. Yeah. And it was a good, it was a cinematically good way to play it out. I mean, it, it plays it out real, like it or not, it's realistic. I mean, yep. As far as like, I know we're saying it's realistic in a made up game world, but you know what I mean? Like, in as if that was a real thing, it plays out realism well. Another thing I think they did well, and it kind of goes into what we've been saying, was I feel like they played really well into letting the viewer figure things out in real time with whoever storyline is going through, like they're going through with them. Yes. Like you're playing the game, like you're helping, like you're watching it happen. Because I think a lot of times in movies and stuff nowadays, they spell everything out for you. And treat the audience like you're stupid. And I think people in movies, or at least I do when I go to see a movie, like I love being shocked. I love being surprised. I like figuring things out. It's one of my favorite part about film. So if I find a movie that like knocks my socks off because I didn't see that coming, and I pay attention to that kind of stuff, and it had a great plot twist, I want to figure it out like with them. And then you're talking to the characters. You find that you're like, mm-hmm. do this, make this choice. And that's the cool part, because it puts you in the shoes. It makes you feel like you're making those decisions and those little tough choices that like,
yeah,
those key moments. And like, I love that they actually put the line in there that's like, you know, they shows sometimes will have those little phrases that are like I see dead people, you know what I mean? They're like the little phrases, yeah, that are like the little key things that are like early hints early on that you don't even realize are like little sprinkles of like
little nuggets.
Yeah. And that's one of them where it's just like life's tough little choice, and you're just like, whoa, like the whole, ugh, it's a big onion. Like this is a big onion. Like it goes a lot bigger than you're thinking.
I love it when movies and stuff surprise me too. And know what I love even more? I love when I think I got it all figured out. I'm like, this is what's going to happen. Oh, I bet it's this. And I love when it's like, nope. And they prove me wrong. Even if the movie itself isn't that great, I love it when it's like, in your face, you thought one thing and I'm going to make you something. Oh, I like being shocked too. That's the best thing.
Well, and that's what I loved about this, because there are things that you think about some things or people. Our brains, because I know you think a lot similarly to I do, like you're always looking at everybody a little bit skeptically, and you're always looking at anyone like, but I know that you're also, because you're trained, because movies have taught us to train to look at the people you least expect, and we're looking at them like that's the guy. And this movie surprises you, or not movie, this show surprises you in ways, because it's, without giving away things, it's like, it's not always what you think, because you're looking for it in the least expected place. You know, and in the least expected people. Sometimes not.
Well, I have my theories as to what some things are. I have some theories. The dad, clearly there's some sketch stuff with the dad, actually. I'm wondering if Maximus actually hates the Brotherhood of Steel, and he's trying to infiltrate it from the inside. I don't know. There's something about him that's so, it shows him as a little kid all the time looking at the Brotherhood of Steel, yeah, and like happy. But I'm like, aren't you though? Like, did they yeah, save you, or did they, like, I don't know what's going on there, but I have my theories. Jess, I need to say that this is going to be two episodes. We were ambitious. We were ambitious going into this thing. I was going to turn it into one. It would have been a 3-hour long episode if I did that. We got so into so many things, and it got so deep, and I'm not even there yet.
You're not even done. You don't even know. I've been holding back. If you knew what I knew, this thing would have been a 5-hour long conversation. Like, you have no idea.
When I watch it, I'm going to be messaging you, and I am super excited to watch it and just get back into this and be so excited. But for now, I think the show was near perfect, and it is a masterpiece.
I would agree. Yes.
first, I want to say thank you to the lovely Jess for being on here with me. I was so excited.
Thank you for having me. I was too. God. I know, like I said, I wore my Fallout shirt, and you'll finish the show, and it's going to be great, and you're going to be so happy. You're going to, okay. I know it.
You can find more of my content on our YouTube channel, Not a Strong Start. You can follow us on YouTube and, no, sorry, I already said YouTube. You can follow us on, too excited, Instagram and Twitter at Not a Strong Start. You can listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at Marie Plays It All. Is there anywhere we can follow you, Jess? You want people to follow you? You just want to chill on Twitter?
I'm just a guest. I am a plus one. I'm the date of the evening.
You're my companion.
Yeah. Yes.
So at the end of every episode, I say never stop playing and also never stop playing follow. Sure. And also never stop what, Jess? What should people never stop doing?
Never stop never stopping.
That's been said by lots of people. And I love that. Never stop.
I'm sure. I'm sure it has.
I love it. That's like the go-to. I love it when people
never stop. Thumbs up. Make sure it's not bigger than your thumb.
I was going to say that's what she said, but that's not what she said.